like you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. And this afternoon, we want to look at a very pertinent and necessary question. One which we must seriously consider. And from the text, I suppose you already know what I'm going to say to you. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole? Will thou be made whole?" The Lord Jesus spoke to this important man who had been afflicted, as we know from the text, 38 years, and asked him, "Will you be made whole? Do you desire to be restored?" It seems to be a very strange question to ask. Who would not want to be made whole if one is in such a situation or condition like this man? Would the poor man have been lying at the pool if he had not been anxious for healing? Is there not that very look of his face as he gazed upon the Lord Jesus, and that answer, the answer to that question, seems very unnecessary, isn't it? You mean the Lord Jesus did not realize that, cannot by his facial expression to see, and seeing him at the pool, waiting. You need no further inquiry but to just look at that man there, and does not his facial expression tell you that surely he desires to be made whole? And perhaps this man, perhaps the Lord Jesus also knew, and I'm sure the Lord knows, he who is God, he knew that this important man has given up hope of being restored. Perhaps he felt so dejected because each time he tries to go into the pool for healing, someone else went before him and no one helped him to bring him in. And so he may be like one who is so hungry that the appetite right now is all gone. The appetite itself is all gone. He felt so hopeless that there is no future for him anymore. But our Lord Jesus, he touched the cord which needed to vibrate when he inquired and bring this question to that man to impress upon his will. Will thou be made whole? And this is a very profound investigation. It is like a scientific probe of a great physician of the soul to look into the deep recesses of this man's heart. For such is the effect of this question. And so, in preaching the gospel to you, it may seem almost an impertinent and unnecessary question for me to ask you this question. Will thou be whole? Would you like to be made whole? Would you like to be restored? Surely, if I say that to you in my sermon, you will reply, "Yes, of course. Surely, I desire to be saved." However, I am not quite sure whether you truly realize the pertinent and necessity of this question. For For I am persuaded that instead of the question being an unnecessary one, why would you ask such a question to us? You may say. And to this congregation, why would you want to ask us this question, preacher? But I want to ask you this question because I'm persuaded that this is a very, very pertinent, necessary question. And I want to press upon your attention to get a truthful answer to this inquiry is my aim. That you will consider it very carefully, even though you may be a believer. And more so for those who think they are a believer, and to those who have no concern for such a question. My intention and objective is to impress upon you to consider very carefully. Even if you are honestly compelled to give a negative answer, it will at least expose the condition of your heart to it, that it may be of help to you somewhat. As God help me, I shall strive to press upon you very earnestly this question to you, men and women, boys and girls, will thou be made whole? Do you desire to be made whole? First of all, this question is pertinent and necessary because it is a question always misunderstood. And this is my first head. This question is always misunderstood. It is not the same as this question, like when I ask you, will you be saved from going to hell? And as I said before, everyone will answer, yes, I do not want to go to hell, so please save me. But that is not the question. Or the question, will you be saved so as to go to heaven? And as I also said before, at once, without hesitation, and no, you don't need to spend a lot of time thinking about this question, and you will ask, yes, why not? Why not? I certainly desire to go to heaven. For this desire, this is in our hearts. This, for the songs of blessedness, for the eternity of our immortality. We have this in our heart, a strong desire. But that you see, or what you, this question is posed to you. What you see in that question, that is not the gist of the question. Heaven and joy comes out of what is proposed in that question as a result, as a consequence. But that is not the gist of the question. We are not, for example, saying to the thief, will you have your imprisonment remitted? We are putting it to him in another shape. Are you willing to be made an honest man? That is a proper, better question than to say to him, will you have your imprisonment remitted? Next, we are not saying to, for example, the murderer, are you anxious to escape the gallows? We know his reply, certainly. The question we are putting to him is this. To the murderer, will you be made righteous, upright, kind, forgiving, so as to give up all this evil of yours, all this evil that you have been doing and committed, are you willing to give it up? It is not, are you willing to sit at the feast of mercy and eat and drink as those who are in health? But are you willing to be made spiritually healthy or healthful, to pass through those divine processes by which the abominable disease of sin may be cast out and the healthiness of the sanctified heart and sanctified soul may be restored to you? This is the gist of that question. Are you willing to be made spiritually helpful? To give up your sin, to turn away from all your evil ways, and to have your heart renewed and sanctified, to live a new life in Christ. And so to help you know what that question means, let me point out that there were two men who were whole, perfectly whole, and those two may be called the two Adams. The first Adam and the second Adam, which we see in scripture. These two men shows us in their own persons what a man would be if he be made whole, or what it is to be whole. The first Adam in the garden, and I'm sure most of you know, he was a man who knew his God. He knew many other things and understood many other things. He had such knowledge, but mainly and chiefly he knew his God. And his delight was to walk with his God, to commune with his God, to speak with his God as a man speaker with his friend. Until when? This all changed when he fell. Until he fell. Fell into sin, in rebellion. He was one whose will, his heart, was submissive or submitted to the will of his creator. He was the anxious, desirous not to violate that will, the will of God. But in all things, the first Adam, he strived to do what his master and his Lord wants him to do, or desires him to do, or commands him to do. He was placed in the garden to till the ground, to keep and to dress the garden. And he did it. And not only did he did it with joy. There was no burden, no stress. He was a whole, a sound man. His whole enjoyment consisted in his God, his creator. It was his one object as a living creature to do the will of God that made him. He knew nothing of rioting and drunkenness. For him, there were no lasciviousness or malicious deeds. He was pure, upright, chaste, obedient. And so now, how would you like to be made like the first Adam? You sinners who are down here in living in your sin, are you willing? You who have sought out many inventions, you find your happiness in your sin, in all other filthiness and pleasures of you of this world. Would you be willing to come back and find your happiness in God, who created you in his image, and henceforth serve him, worship him, and none beside? See, that is the essence of that question, will thou be made whole? It is not asking you, do you desire to go to heaven? You do not want to go to hell? Oh, sure. But that is a consequence of that question, yes. But the gist of that question is to ask you, to consider very carefully. And now, we take the other instance of the other man who was whole. And you know his name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the second person in the triune Godhead. He, our Lord Jesus, dwelling among the sons of men on earth, not in paradise, but in the midst of humiliation, temptation, suffering, he was a whole, a sound man, took upon himself as to his body, our sin, were reckoned to him as our substitute, but in him was no sin. The wicked people of this world search him, examine him through and through, but they could not find any unsoundness in him, any unrighteousness in him. The perfection of our Savior, of his life, consists in this, that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was holy, that is, in its root, holiness in its root, the same thing as whole. He was complete, perfect, uninjured, untainted man. He was whole towards his God. It was his meat and drink to do the will of God the Father that sent him. Jesus as man was man as God would have man. Perfectly conformed to his right position. He was as become from the Maker's hand, without plot, without loss, without growth of evil, without the absence of any good thing. He was whole and holy. Hence, our Lord Jesus, he was harmless, never inflicting evil on others in word or in deed, undefiled, never affected by the influences of this world that surrounded him, so as to become false to his God or unkind to man. Undefiled, though blasphemed, or blasphemy rather, passed through his ears, or passed by his ears, yet it never polluted his heart. He may hear all this blasphemy, but it never polluted his heart. Though he saw the wickedness of man carried to its climax, yet he himself shook off that serpent into the fire and remained without spot, blameless. He was also separate from sinners, not drawing around him a pharisaical a group of people and saying to others, stay away, for I'm holier than you. No. He's condescending, eating with them, and yet separate from them. Never more separate than when his hand, his kind hand, touched them. When he entered most deeply into the sympathy of men, into their sorrow, he was separate by his own mental elevation, more moral superiority and spiritual grandeur. Now, the gist of the question is this. Would you like or would you wish to be like Jesus? So you see, this is another aspect of that question. Would you wish to be like the Lord Jesus? And so now we move on. I would like to consider with you that secondly, this question has many answers. This question has many answers or many replies. Therefore, it is the more needful that it should be asked and answered. First, there are some who will reply to this question as, I don't know. I do not want to know. I have no answer to this question. I do not want to hear and consider this kind of thing. Preacher, come on, please. Do not come and tell me and ask me this kind of crazy questions. Will I be made? Who? What are you talking about? I do not quite understand this question and I am not bothered. We have plenty of other things to do. Don't waste my time asking me such a question, to think of such thing. We are young people. We have plenty of other things for us to consider and do. We are business people. We have many other ideas and plans to think of. how we can make ourselves rich and even richer. And please do not bother us with such a question. We are wealthy people. Look at us. We are not like some of these people that are weak and, you know, poor and needed to consider this kind of thing. Or there are people who say, I'm already halfway underground, going to die soon. And I rather spend my time and energy and looking for a cure, looking for the best doctors. And I do not want to be troubled with such theological difficulties. Oh, my friends, I want to put this to you, that this is a very needful question. Very necessary, very pertinent for all of us to consider. You see, the poor soul, our soul, the human soul, is most precious. But we seldom, or in fact we don't, esteem it. We treat it very lightly. We trifle with our soul. We play with our immortal interests. And I was like that. What I have said to you was my personal experience. And I would now firstly to the young people, to the young children, to the boys and girls, I would that these things be strongly, or rather this question be strongly impressed upon your mind. How earnestly I would that this question will be seen by you, or will be considered by you to be very important, a matter of life and death indeed. Yea, pressingly, overwhelmingly important to you, so that you could not shake off such a pertinent and necessary question. So young people, do not brush this question off quickly and easily and busy with yourself, with so many other things which, well, perhaps necessary, important, but consider this. This question is most important for you to set aside time and make an effort to consider this question very carefully. I would, parents, fathers and mothers, that you will constantly raise this one question to your children regularly. Will thou be made whole? Do not be overly or excessively concerned for the academic development and well-being of your children. Their soul is far more precious and valuable than anything in the world. Take seriously the word of God in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If this one question is settled firmly and assuredly in the hearts of your children, you can be assured God will take care of the rest for your children and even for yourself. Fathers and mothers, do not go with the world to chase after all this academic and all that temporal things of this world, which, as I said, I know, I understand, and it is actually a gift from God. But do not set your heart on all this to the neglect of the soul of your children, because you have to give an answer to God for their soul, just as God required the Christians, the under shepherds, to answer before God, should God see the blood of sinners in your hand or on your hand, you have to give an answer. I have to give an answer. Seeing the book, the prophet Ezekiel, God told him this. If you see a person going down in the way of destruction and sin, and you do not warn the person, his blood will I require at your hand. And same for fathers and mothers. They are entrusted to you by God, and you are responsible and answerable to God, not just so much of their physical, but more so their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take seriously Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And if you really believe this verse, then thank God. Praise the Lord that the Spirit has worked and impressed this upon your heart, and you can be assured God will take care of all the other temporal needs of your children, of your family, of yourself, for yourself too. And this is the same point for everyone, not just for the young people, even for the older one, or even for the middle-aged, the young adults, or whoever you may be. Once you settle that this pertinent and necessary question in your heart, honestly, earnestly, you can be assured all your other needs, God will work it out in his time. Then thirdly, we can see here that whenever an honest, positive or affirmative answer is given to this question, then we can quite safely conclude that there is a work of grace working in the heart of, or working in this, in the heart of this person or this soul. If any one of you can earnestly say, yes, I have this great longing, I have this desire, I understood the essence of this question, and indeed I have this in my heart to be free from my sin, then my dear friend, I am very happy for you, because this is a good sign. This is a good sign. If you say that it is not out of fear of punishment, sin itself is punishment enough for me. If I could be in heaven and yet be a sinner such as I am, it would be no heaven to me. If you can say that, if you are very clear concerning this question, what this question is actually trying to probe, then, praise the Lord, there is this sign of grace, the seed of everlasting life. And soon, before long, you shall rejoice that you are born again and pass from death unto life. It may seem to be a very little thing to have such a desire, just like the mustard seed. But I tell you, dear friends, such a desire, yes, seems very small thing, but it is more than human nature ever produced of itself. You cannot put in yourself or generate this kind of desire in your own heart. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, and therefore it is a good sign should you have such a desire that you understood that this is not just asking me whether I desire to go to heaven or hell, or I desire to be delivered from hell and to be brought into heaven. This is more than that. It is about a life, a transformation of your life, a transformation of your heart. It goes beyond the surface. And so if you have that sign, praise the Lord. And go on, my dear friend. Seek the Lord. Pray that the Holy Spirit will continue this work in you, to generate in you, to further establish this desire, that you may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and live your life for the glory of his holy name. And finally, but there is one more thing we need to consider concerning this question. Where this question is answered in the negative, then I must remind you that it is a most fearful sin. There are some here, or there are some people who are not willing to be made whole. As I said, they are not interested. They do not realize the seriousness of this one question, which is so pertinent and necessary. They do not see. But I want to urge you right now, my dear friends, if you are in such a state, face it now, I urge you, as you will have to face it soon. It is just this. It all boils down to this. You prefer yourself to God. You prefer to please yourself than pleasing God. You prefer to live a life of sin than holiness. Look at it closely and fairly. Sin is your own choice. Your own present deliberate choice. You are now making it and have often made it and will, I fear, continue to make it, to live a life of sin in rebellion against God. And if God's grace do not prevent it, you will continue. Look at it in the face. For soon, as I said before this morning and in the past, soon, on that day, on your dying bed, you will see the whole matter very clear in the light of eternity. You will then discover that you prefer the pleasures of this life to heaven. You prefer all the glamours and the amusement the world offers to you. Your self-righteousness and your pride has blinded you that you could not see and understand the essence of this question. Will thou be made whole? But when that time comes, my dear friend, it is too late. It is too late. When you come to die, and certainly when you live in another state, you will curse yourself for having made such a choice to reject Christ and to die in your sin. You are willing to throw away free grace and embrace the world. And so, dear friends, I want to end. If you are in such a stage, may I urge you to consider very carefully, to spend some time to think of this question. Will thou be made whole? And even for those of us who are in Christ, from time to time, as Paul instructs us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, to make your election sure. And so this question will help you. For those of us who are truly believers, it is still good for us to ask ourselves, am I really made whole? Am I a child of God? Just look at it. Just compare it with the Word of God and how you are living your life. And pray that the Holy Spirit will open your spiritual eyes to see whether you are one who has already been made whole in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks to Thee for such a straightforward, simple question. In our English text, just 5 words. Will thou be made whole? O Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts of every one of us, young and old, believers and non-believers, that thou will bring this question to impress upon our hearts that we may consider it very, very seriously before it is too late. O Lord, help us, we pray. And so we pray once again, Lord, as you have so graciously granted unto us, thy people, a new week to walk with thee afresh and to learn and experience and taste of your goodness, of your wisdom, of your power, of your love and mercy and compassion. Help us, O Lord, we pray in this new week, that thou will grant us much wisdom, that thou will help us to be watchful, to watch unto prayer, that thou will help us to be very careful in living our lives that will glorify thy holy name and to enjoy thee. So Father, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill thy people with your peace and the joy of the Lord. Hear this our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.